Welcome to Without Regret. Be more, see more, achieve more that really matters. Lesson 9. Living Without Regret. Conflict. If you have established your boundaries and are holding your boundaries assertively, you can expect conflict. Guaranteed. Conflict can range from a simple difference of opinion or a problem to solve, which is healthy conflict, to all-out war, which is, of course, unhealthy conflict. I have three beliefs about conflict. One, conflict cannot be resolved. It must be managed. Two, conflict is a good thing. And three, conflict is needed. I do not believe conflict can be completely resolved, nor should it be. Even those who agree about most things continue in some disagreement on the finer points of an issue. This is conflict. When it appears that the conflict may be resolved, further probing into the thoughts and emotions of those involved reveals that conflict remains. It's just gone underground and needs to be managed. So when speaking about conflict, I prefer the term management rather than resolution. I believe conflict is a good thing, though conflict can escalate to a level that is destructive and can create fertile ground for regret. A certain level of conflict is extremely healthy, constructive, and worthy of embrace. Conflict is good when the focus is on an issue, such as solving a problem, exploring alternative views, or negotiating through a disagreement. Conflict is good because it creates opportunities to learn new things. Encountering a difference of opinion can shake your confidence in the opinion you hold and cause you to wonder about what is most accurate. This can prompt exploration and learning. Conflict is good because it can help you gain greater understanding of the give and take skills needed for living in community with other people, and it can be a laboratory for sharpening your people skills. You can learn to be with people who have strengths and styles that are different from yours and come to appreciate their contributions to the world. Conflict is needed. Without some low-level conflict, relationships and organizations are depressed, angry, unhealthy, and unproductive. Healthy, energetic collaboration using contributions from each person can sift out a better answer than any individual could have achieved on their own. Conflict can be bad. Conflict is bad when the focus drifts toward a person, escalates to a win-lose battle, and people are attacked while the issues become secondary and unclear. The moment the conflict focuses on a person, it quickly and dramatically becomes unmanageable. People with an alternate opinion are characterized as wrong and marginalized from the mainstream. Character assassination is common, and in relatively rare cases, physical assassination. The goal becomes the elimination of the individual from the scene. The focus on the issue is lost. What's your brain up to in conflict? In conflict, your brain predicts threat and reacts by pushing your bodily resources towards survival mode. This reaction is triggered outside of your consciousness as your brain predicts threat to safety, security, belonging, or respect. As resources are moved toward survival, they are moved away from activities of critical thought, communication, creativity, imagination, and those activities that are other-centered and allow healthy relational interaction. Adrenaline is released. Cortisol and testosterone levels increase. Your brain has moved resources to support your protecting and defending yourself by fighting, running, hiding, or yielding and conceding to the perceived attacker. Sometimes your brain predicts the conflict is threat and gets it wrong. If you allow survival mode or defensiveness to continue, you will fail to manage the conflict because of the way your bodily resources were directed. You literally do not have the resources to do well toward productive, healthy conflict unless you instruct the brain to redirect. If you continue in survival mode, the mental processes of planning, analysis, and decision-making needed for productive conflict management are severely diminished. The messages you hear are distorted. You will not communicate with clarity. Your ability to concentrate and learn is diminished. Your perspective becomes narrow, black and white, oversimplified, inflexible, and without imagination. You will be unable to see alternatives or options. You will cease to see the original problem clearly. You will want to fix things quickly and get out of there. Your position will become rigid, and you may experience a sense of helplessness and self-doubt. If everyone in the conflict is like this, no one has the resources for productively handling the conflict. And this can be destructive, but you and others in the conflict can prompt your brains toward processes that will help you manage the conflict productively. By breathing deeply to trigger the relaxation response and asking questions of yourself, you can guide your brain to direct resources from survival to the activities of critical thought, communication, creativity, imagination, and those activities that are other-centered and allow healthy relational interaction. This can also influence the brains of others involved in the conflict. When planning to manage conflict, it's important to keep these things in mind. Low levels of conflict between people are natural, normal, and inevitable, though sometimes uncomfortable. Expect this and embrace it. You can keep the conflict good and productive when you manage it masterfully, and much of this involves managing self. You can't plan conflict management strategies in a heated, anxious, defensive situation of conflict. Planning for self-management, how you will be, what you will do to manage yourself in conflict, requires proactive planning during quiet, non-anxious times. You must practice ahead of time. You are a part of the conflict. It takes two or more to tango. Do what you decide and not what you feel. When your brain predicts threat, it will automatically shift resources to help you fight, take flight, or freeze. This is natural and normal. The first you will know about this is when you feel it in your body and you experience an emotion. At that point, you are at choice. You have many options for behavior from which you can choose. You can choose to gently lean into the conversation, embrace the situation, and ask questions to aid you in understanding what the other person wants. Be a calm, aware presence who is actively processing the interaction and paying attention to what is happening within you to intentionally direct your actions as much as possible. You can help others do the same. This is a function of emotional intelligence. An essential tactic in being a calm, aware presence in conflict is to intentionally breathe deeply from your belly. Inhale deeply through your nose, pushing your belly out. Then exhale through your mouth. You need not make a show of breathing deeply. Breathe quietly and discreetly as you listen to the other person. Concentrating on your breathing creates the relaxation response and tells your brain to move resources away from survival mode because you're consciously and intentionally enacting another plan. Concentrate on your breathing until you sense clarity and control returning. A quiet, not whispering, well-paced voice can help you and others be calmer and project calmness into an otherwise anxious situation. Stay focused on the issues. Don't make the conflict about the other person as much as you may want to do so. Be curious. Ask questions that help you fully understand the other position. When someone approaches and is agitated, take a breath or two, listen attentively, and when they take a breath, ask, "What else do I need to know about this?" This question can help the person begin to move away from survival or attack mode and more toward an interactive mode because they have a question to answer. Be attentive. Listen 80% of the time and speak 20% of the time. Be open and vulnerable. Openness and vulnerability are often disarming and helpful in conflict. This is counterintuitive since in conflict we naturally tend to erect walls and be protective. Be assertive. Not aggressive, not passive, not passive-aggressive. Stick to the I messages using first person and avoid accusing or blaming. Speak only for yourself and not for other people. Embrace silence. Silence can give the brain room to move resources to bodily areas needed for most productive conflict management. It also allows time to breathe and for space in the conversation. Use these principles and perspectives, along with the many more in my book, Without Regret, for helping you to manage conflict in living without regret. I'm Michael Godfrey. Thanks for listening.